And I'm asking you in the name of the Lord, what is tempting you to defy the blessedness of God in your life? How has sin come into your quarters? How is that voice coming to you? From where is it coming? Because I'm telling you, it's at the door of your heart. Because it's in the door of your heart, it's wonderful. Because it means that sin is not inevitable.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, September 28th, 2025. Pastor Zonia speaking. Today's message is entitled, Sin is at the Door. And our text comes to us from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. And now, here's Pastor Zonia.
Well, this morning, it's a kind of a different type of message that I usually bring, but I think it's important for me to bring it because I believe that sometimes we forget that you and I are candidates for getting messed up in our lives. What a nice way to begin, you know. So, just because you're a Christian and you know the Lord does not absolve you from having issues that you have to deal with. And if you don't take care of those issues that come up in your life, you wind up in a mess. So we're going to read Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. And you'll catch it right away, exactly what we're talking about. So let's see if we can have that in the screens, and we'll read it. And Adam laid with his wife Eve. That's not the message. Everything's fine. And she became pregnant. I guess they were doing it way at the beginning. And gave birth to Cain. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. You know, I think everyone who has a child and have a baby, they say, thank God it's over. Anyway, so let's move on. Later, she gave, that's not my message. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look for with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? For if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out in the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to my Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you're driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times more. Seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one would find him, would kill him. May God bless the reading of his word. What a passage for a Sunday morning service. And yet, verse 7 is our text. It says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. The Messenger Bible says the same verse, verse 7, if you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you, ready to pounce. It is out to get you. You have to master it. We live in a time where it seems like every door tells a story. Sin is at the door, you know. And at the door of Cain, life had two voices. The voice of a predator and God's warning light. There's a way in which you and I allow the voice of the enemy to come into our lives and destroy our lives. And just because we're Christians, just because we know the Lord, doesn't mean that we're no longer going to fall into temptation and get ourselves mixed up. But there is this door. There is a voice that is knocking, that is talking. There is this persuasion to cause you to trip and to fall and to do which is wrong. There is sin at the door of each one of us. This is not because you're a good person or a bad person, but because that's the reality. And I need you to know that you and I as Christians, sin is not passive. It waits like a predator, ready to strike. Somebody said, sin is very subtle in the life of the Christian. It's also creeping. It's also relational. Sin in our lives needs to be understood in the context of Christ's victory over life and death. But it does not absolve us from having the will to resist the enemy, to say no to those voices and those doors that want to open up and mess ourselves up. They tell the story that when you go on a safari, the guides warn everybody not to leave the jeep because lions crouch out there in the tall grass, patient and silent until the moment of weakness, and then they jump. That's how sin is in the life of the Christian. As how sin is in your life and in my life, is quiet but lethal. Temptation always looks harmless, until it devours us. Again, 1 Peter 5:8, everybody knows that scripture, that the devil prowls around, walks around like a roaring lion to see who he may devour. And that's written to the Christian. And I'm asking you in the name of the Lord, what is tempting you to defy the blessedness of God in your life? How has sin come into your quarters? How is that voice coming to you? From where is it coming? Because I'm telling you, it's at the door of your heart. Because it's in the door of your heart, it's wonderful. Because it means that sin is not inevitable. Cain had a choice. He saw what was wrong, and he took it upon himself to do the wrong thing. You and I attempt it every day of our lives, and we need to ask ourselves the question, am I going to go that route, or am I going to go the other route? Am I going to listen to God, or am I going to listen to the evilness and the deceitfulness of this generation that is so crooked and so perverse and so dark, that once you enter into that, it just sucks you up? God tells Cain, if you do what is right, you will be accepted. If you do what you need to do that you know that is right, before the act, God gave Cain a way out. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that which you know is wrong. It's like the warning lights on a dash card, on the car dashboard, I should say. You can either respond and repair or ignore until something goes bad. The car that I drive has all those warning lights, which are crazy. There's one in particular. It lights up, it says, tire pressure, yeah. So I'm driving, I don't pay attention to it. Tire pressure. And so I stop and I see how I can fix the tire pressure. And I'm supposed to push like 25 different buttons in this. I finally go to the car dealer, I say, fix it. They fix it within 5 minutes. There are things in your life that you can't fix, but when you come to the Lord, he will fix them for you. But those warning lights in our lives must be taken into account. And you and I need to say, this area of my life I need to repair. This area of my life is wrong. This is wrong. This temptation is coming. This issue is coming to me. And I need to pay attention to those flashing lights. It's a lie when you think that you can't help it but to sin. It's a lie. Sin is never unstoppable. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Says it this way, I'll read it to you, but actually 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you, except that which is common to man. So temptations come. Whatever you're facing is common. It's a lie of the devil to tell you that you're going to be overwhelmed, because your puny little ridiculous temptation to do wrong happens to everybody. But you think not. But everybody goes through what you go through. It does. It really does. It says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Temptation that comes to you is within the framework of you being able to reject it, to make the choice to say no to it. You're not. The Lord protects you. But you still have your will. And you must make decisions in your life that the certain things that you must not go through, the voice that calls you away from God, however small it may be or weak it may be, it is wrong to go that route. And so when things come to you, he says that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He says, but when you are tempted, it doesn't say if you're tempted, he says when you're tempted. So don't tell me you're never tempted, because then we have to go to the sin of lying, okay? We're all tempted. That's perfectly human. It's part of our life, part of our makeup. It's part of the fallen nature we have. But when you are tempted, he, God, will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Amen. There is no reason, really, to say sin has overpowered me, because temptation is always a crossroad, one that leads to life and growth, and the other one to destruction. Now, you've known me for years. I've known some of you for many more years, I would like to admit, that I have behind this pulpit, but that's okay. I rarely speak this way. But this is a morning where I have to say this to you. For in my heart, I believe that the fiercest struggle that we have in temptation, even with others, is with our heart. What's going on in your heart this Sunday morning? What are the areas of temptation that can cause you to fall hard and bad? Cain killed Abel. That's how bad it was. And it was a relational sin, for sin is relational. For not only do you affect yourself, it affects people around you. You need to check yourself this morning. Consider the illustration I just gave of a car dashboard. Lights that flash. So the more that I read this passage, and there's so many people who give you so many different interpretations of this text, but basically when you just read the text, you find out that the problem was not really Cain versus Abel, but Cain versus his own heart. There was something inside. Sin's desire was to dominate him, and he allowed that to happen in his life. We could go into why one offering was not accepted, and Cain's offering was some of the fruits of the field, and Abel brought the best that he had, and we can go back and forth and all of that. But basically, the thing is that Abel had a heart problem, and sin dominated his heart. They tell me that it's like a chess match. One careless move, and your opponent controls the whole board. And sin waits for that one careless move to do what you know is wrong, and you fall into a trap. Thank God that there is a passage that we need to remember. If we confess our what? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you have to confess the sin. Amen. You have to come to him and say, Lord, this is a temptation. This is a trial in my life. And I need to speak to you urgently because the dashboard is lighting up. So Abel's problem was that he was honoring God. And Cain's problem was he was jealous and upset. The enemy was within the heart of Cain to kill. You know, when it comes down to it, I think I spoke about this last time. Last Sunday we were here about the 23rd Psalm. Thou prepareth a table in front of my enemies. So the word enemies can be also translated anguishers. And sometimes in our minds, we have battles there. And the greatest battles of our lives are not external. They're internal. Struggles of the heart. I want to go on the record to say that the struggles that we go through in our country today are not struggles of legislation or political, but of the heart. The heart is off kilter. Problems of the heart kill people. Jealousy kills people. We're always in a, we're very careful not to politicize anything from the pulpit, but the murder of Charlie was awful. The death of Abel was awful. Happened because the heart was wrong. And again, one careless move in the chess match and the whole board belongs to the other one. Romans 7 describes this inner war that goes on into our hearts. And again, our greatest battles are not external, but they're the unseen struggles of the heart, what you're wrestling with. And yet God tells Cain, more than a warning, he speaks to him and gives him a command and says, you must rule over it. You got to get it under control. Amazing. God makes us responsible. Oh, what a revelation. Well, God, you know, you're so powerful, you can do whatever. You are in charge of your life. And you say at night, let your will be done. Why? Because you still have a will. He gives the command, you must rule over it. And people call this the first call to self-mastery, where you've been disciplined by the Spirit, where you submit your life to God and say, let your will be done in my life, Lord. And with the aid of his word and the power of the Holy Spirit, you live out your life. Yes, you're going to trip here and there. Now, of course it does. But you have to be conscious that sin wants to ride you. But God calls you to hold the reins and hold you responsible to say, I will not do this. Let's take something that could be a revelation in your heart. You have a dirty mouth. You swear. You cuss. When that happens, you stop it. And you ask the Lord to fill your heart with his goodness and his love. And you immediately repent and ask God to help you. Because that's an indication that something inside of your heart is off kilter. So if we take the picture of a horse, when you ride a powerful horse, you have to keep it under control. And when you keep it under control, it is useful. But without control, you can be thrown off. And that's our passions, and that's our sin nature, and that's the idea of doing that which you know is wrong, but you're going to do it anyway. Boy, silencio. But it's so true, so true. Self-control, however, for the Christian is not optional. Galatians 5:23 calls us to flee, to be away from the fruits of the flesh, not the fruits, the works of the flesh. And then he talks to us about the fruit of the Spirit. We must allow the Spirit of God to produce fruit. And that's a process. It's not an instant thing. It just takes time. And you have to say, Lord, I cannot do this by myself. But you said in Corinthians 10, you will provide a way of escape. So let me conquer this with your help. Because really, without the Lord's help, we can't do it. We said that already. The fruit of the Spirit of Christ empowers us to hold the reins and not to allow those things to happen. All of us have illustrations of moments when we wanted to do something that we knew was wrong and we stopped it. We stopped it because we submitted it to the Lord and we asked the Lord to help us through. Cain let the resentments take the reins of his life and sin mastered him. Genesis 4 points just beyond Cain to the one who truly conquered sin. Cain by himself, like you and I, cannot master sin. We can't. But the good news is that Christ has already conquered it. And that's why you and I have no excuse to live a life that doesn't reject sin. The good news is Jesus has conquered sin, and it says very clearly, sin shall no longer be your master. There is within you the ability to stand against the worst temptation to do stupid things, if I can use the word, with all due respect, dumb things. Let's say that you used to take drugs. You've come to Christ, you're clean, and then all of a sudden, you get the urge to do it. That's the moment of temptation. That's the moment you say, Lord, I will not allow drugs to run my life. Give me the strength. Help me to walk away. And you will walk away, for the Lord has made a way for you to walk away from it. The same thing with anything else that we did in our former life. You have the ability to do so because sin will no longer be your master, and we're doing it all under grace, which means that God makes provisions that when we trip and fall, we can be picked up by his grace and by his strength. But we have to admit it, don't we? We have to admit it. So I sometimes feel like, you know, like temptation comes and there's this door and the wind blows against the door and wants to make the door smashes and come into my heart. And you say, how can I prevent that wind, that storm to come and break that door? Jesus is inside of me and he's pushing the door against it so that the wind will not break it and I will be safe. I can be aware of the temptation, but having been tempted does not mean that you have sinned. The problem is not to fall into temptation. Christ was tempted in everything, yet without sin. And so the fact that temptation comes to you does not make you a non-Christian or a failing Christian. What makes us or gets us into problems is when we go along with the temptation of our life. So you can't do it by yourself, but you can do it with the Lord helping you out. Sin shall no longer be your master. You are under grace and the victory. King could not win. Jesus won for us. And yet Cain had instructions from the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him directly, don't do this. Why are you doing this? Don't let sin master you. Don't let it in. And yet he allowed it to happen. So I don't know who's struggling today. Maybe all of us are struggling today with the sin that so easily besets us, says Hebrews. But I want to encourage you to resist it and to say, no, Lord, I'm not going to go that route. Do you know the damage that we have in our iPhones today, in our telephones, and all the crapola that's in there, and how it sneaks into our families and into our children and to our children's children and into our brains? Do you know what's going on in that world? We had a, like I said, we had this conference on Saturday, and Friday and Saturday. On Friday, one of the pastors who, he's a medical doctor, and he travels throughout the world preaching the gospel and working with Hispanic churches, et cetera. He said to me, I was in Oaxaca, Mexico. You know where Oaxaca is? It's a place that you have to look in the map, but you can find it. He says, and I preached a sermon, and it was about communion. And within the hour after I finished preaching in Oaxaca, a little Oaxacan came to me and says, look, Pastor, look what I got for you. And he looked at it, and artificial intelligence had picked up his message and made it into a song and said, look, and then they put his face in it, and he was shocked to see himself not being himself. You know what we're facing today? The deceit. You know how difficult it is for us today to live with this avalanche of lies? Be careful. Be careful. I'm concluding this message in the next 5 minutes because you have concluded me. First of all, sin crouches at every door. Every door, all of us. There is no exception, none of us. Secondly, God offers choices and warnings. What's going on in your life? Be careful. Watch out. Because the devil is like a roaring lion looking to see who he may devour. Be careful. Just say no. Get on your knees and pray. Ask God to clear your brain. Again, we go back to last Sunday. The mind is the place where he throws his arrows and causes you to think thoughts that are not of him. And you have to wrestle with that. And you need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you set a table in the presence of my anguishers, my thoughts. It's the thoughts are going to be there. The temptation is going to be there. But that table is the authority and the power and the protection of the King who's going to take care of it. But you must understand that the Lord is offering you choices and warnings. Third thing is that the fiercest battle is inside of your heart. It's what's going on inside of you. But God calls you to mastery. He calls you to resist it. He calls you to take things into your hands and work with him. It doesn't go away if you say, let the Lord do it. You have to engage it. You have to say no to those things. You have to say no to that craziness that in the world. You have to say no to that temptation. I had a list here of all the temptations that could come, but I'm not going to do it because I'm embarrassed to think the things that go on today in the world. And they're applicable to the Christian. But I want you to know the battle is inside of you. And God wants you to be in charge of that. He wants you to be a master. For you to call on the Lord and say, Lord, help me. If you don't call on the Lord, you're out to lunch. You gotta call into the Lord. Cain failed, but Christ triumphed. And you identify with Christ who was able to abolish death. He abolished the power of sin, who gives us victory in him. As Hebrews says, his blood speaks of a better word. The word of the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But we have to confess it. That means being mastered. You have to confess it. You have to go to the Lord. You have to say, Lord, deliver me from me. When you don't, again, the dashboard lights keep going and going and going and going. My dad did not like those lights in the dashboard. Happened that one of the cars, we had that, and it had to do with engine repair. And he did not want to do anything with that. And so what he did, he got a hold of electrical tape, black electrical tape, and put it over it. Of course, the engine blew up. You can't cover it. You have to take care of it. So this morning, brothers and sisters, if you're facing temptation, welcome to the club. But I want you to know that you have to master it. You have to get on top of it. And you do so by confessing your sins, because he is just and he's wonderful. I'll read it to you. We read it often, but 1 John chapter 1, it says very, very clearly, and it goes this way. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Unbelievable, isn't it? And I need you to keep on reading, because it says, if we claim to be without sin, oh no, I got masking tape or electrical tape, I can cover the dashboard. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You live a lie. Amen. Christians, face it. You gotta face it. You gotta look at it. And then John tells us, if we confess our sins, if you admit that that light in the dashboard is not gonna go away, if it's there, and it's there, even if you try to cover it, if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins. And not only will he forgive us of our sins, but purify us from all unrighteousness. The Lord can do it for you. But don't let it slip. Don't let it slide. Don't let it get away from it. Come to him. Lord, I'm facing this temptation. Lord, sin is at the door. Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, I confess to you my weakness. I confess to you my ignorance. I confess to you that I want to sin. Help me, Lord. And the Lord comes to you and begins to work in your heart. And not only will he forgive you, but then he'll wipe it clean. He washes you. Big old fire hose. With some of you, it's 2 or 3 fire hoses. Full pressure. But he will. He will cleanse you. You know, whenever I have temptations in my life, whenever I go through moments of doubt in my heart, I do one thing which is proves to be, for me, it's the greatest thing. I dive into the Word of God, and I read, and I read, and I read, because the Word cleanses you. I confess my sins, and then I go to the Word, and I read, 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 and I ask, Lord, take this away from me. Lift this burden from me. Usually, me wanting to get somebody, wanting to see justice done, wanting to see things resolved. I can't do it. Only God can. And that causes me to think wrongly about people. And I, you know, just like the disciples, Lord, burn them. I don't know if you've ever had a boss like that. Burn them, Lord. Burn them, Lord. And so the Word cleanses you. It washes you. It just washes you. Just washes you. It washes you. But you have to admit it. You have to say, sin is at the door. If I open that door, I open it because my heart allowed it to come in. So be careful. Oh, church, I think I've done everything I can this morning, and tomorrow we'll talk about heaven. But to get there, that's another story. I just don't want to go there. Be careful. A word to the wise. What's going on in your life? Be careful. This is the Lord's dashboard speaking to you. There's some lights that are flashing. You got to take care of them. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So, Lord, I thank you this morning. Oh, Lord, I thank you this morning. We cannot master sin, Lord. But you enable us to live above sin, Lord. And when we sin, we come to you, and you forgive us of our sins, for we confess them. And you not only forgive us, but you cleanse us, Lord. You clean us, Lord. You washes us, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that this morning you will move in our hearts in such a way that we will be bold enough and strong enough and decisive enough to say, here I am, Lord. Forgive my sins, Lord. I confess them to you. Give me the strength and the ability, Lord, to live for you. Lord, thank you that you understand where I am, for you were tempted in everything, yet without sin. And so today, Lord, we come to you with our temptations. We come to you with the possibilities of messing up our life, asking you not to, Lord, asking you to help us. For we pray and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord, and amen. Will you stand with me? You have to be determined to get rid of anything around you that will cause you to trip and fall and bring shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give me a couple of minutes. I remember one day being in a conference with Jack Hayford. I think most of you knew who Jack Hayford was. And he went before us, and it was all men, conference for men. And he said, I fired my secretary. And we all looked at each other. What did he say? Because she was a temptation to me. And I went into that room and I said, you know, I don't know what's going on, but every time I see you, I'm tempted. And so it's not your fault. He says, but the devil wants to use you to tempt me and to trip me. So you're fired. And I said, what in the world? It's time for you to fire your secretary. It's time for you to fire those things that can cause you to trip. He got a brand new secretary. Everything went fine. And he said, it was but by the grace of God that God showed me that I needed to do that. It's a lesson that I will never forget. Because we got to fire those secretaries. We got to fire those things around us. And that's why David cried and said, oh, create in me a new heart. His desire for a new heart is because he had fired the secretary. Fire the secretary. Let's do it.
Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Amen, Lord. Amen. 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 Now, you know that I don't literally mean fire your secretary, but I mean fire that those things around you that can cause you to trip. Be sharp about it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Some of you need to turn off that television and those crazy shows that come up because your brain goes the wrong way. Watch out. Watch out. Because the sin is at the door, right there. Your old life, you know, your old life, how it creeps up and says, hey, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. Because you're going to go and kill somebody with your sin. Because sin is relational. It affects you, but you kill somebody. Be careful. I don't want to go into it. I'm over preaching. I got to stop right now. This is the day that the Lord has made. By firing my secretary, you know. So. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Live for Jesus. God bless you.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.
Love you, brother.